I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Breathtaking and football. That's what Maryland does.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Are you a big man? Pop, I'm talking to you.
What?
You wake up in the morning, you start, put on my big boy pants. Put on a little jacket, you go. You take your lunch because you got big boy pants on.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
I can say big loud things. I can be demonstrative. This is how you conduct yourself in a democracy.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
We want to look to the future. We've got to tear down the past. Babe Ruth was nothing more than a fat old man with little girl legs.
The Fan. I want it
all. All right, welcome back in hour number two. Got a little bit of breaking news via Adam Schefter of ESPN.
Kind of breaking news. It's like breaking rumors. You know, it's like not official.
It's not official, yes.
It is not. Nothing has actually happened.
But it's classified as breaking news because I think if you're leaking this, you're kind of saying we're going to do it and you're waiting to see what the public reaction is.
You want to do the little trial balloon. You're going to float it out there and see how people react. Oh, yeah. Hey, we're thinking about signing Kaepernick. What do you think? Hell no. We just can. We didn't want to sign him.
Right. They just get ratioed in the tweets and
JK.
We stand for the anthem. Adam Schefter is reporting that the Seahawks are positioning themselves to make a push for Antonio Brown, who is eligible to play after week 9.
We just talked about it yesterday.
We did, and I think we had mentioned it maybe a week or two ago that, hey, remember Seattle was interested? Yeah, probably not going to happen. They got good wideouts. I might have said that yesterday. I don't remember, but
I think I literally did, yeah.
Yeah, according to Adam Schefter, the Seahawks are positioning themselves to make a push. Again, I'll say this. I don't think they'll be alone in it.
No.
But this, to me, it's... Yeah, it's the smell test, and the smell test is saying they're floating it out to see what the reaction is from the fan base, and I don't think it's going to be anything negative. I think all the fans of the world that root for the Seahawks would want that dude in Seattle.
I mean, they opened Frank Clark with...
Don't they need a little more help on the other side of the ball?
Maybe the thought process
it's a minimum contract,
how
though.
Do you... Yeah, I mean, it's not going to be a lot of money.
But it's a roster spot. You only have 53 of them.
Well, I agree with you there, but is there anybody out there that you can sign on the free agent market that fix your defense? Like, that's a tough part. Like, Earl Thomas is out there. You get to kick the tires on that.
Also, counterpoint, Swigard. You don't have anybody, and you're 5-0.
That's true.
You got the best quarterback in the NFL.
We're winning by outscoring people. Let's outscore them by a little bit more with Antonio Brown.
Maybe let's not forget this. There's the report now is that Jamal Adams is set to come back after their bye. Mm-hmm. That would be this week. So maybe it's in a week or two that he's supposed to come back relatively soon. Maybe they just, we're going to put him on the line and blitz all the time, and that's going to be our pass rush. And
we think that'll help the defense more.
Yeah, we'll call it good.
Yeah, I don't know if there's, like, somebody texting Eric Reed. Is Eric Reed a free agent? I don't, you know.
Yeah, nobody signed him.
So maybe that's an option you can go after. I, you know, jokingly bring up Earl Thomas. We know the history there. It's probably not going to happen.
I don't think anybody is touching Earl Thomas except the woman next to him and his brother.
Yeah, I mean, if you add Antonio Brown to this offense, I think there's all sorts of, God, we got to deal with this again. But he is a tremendous wide receiver. Nobody doubts that. And if you have now DK Metcalf on one side, Antonio Brown on the other side, Lockett running in the slot, I mean, you're talking about the best, I think, wide receiver core in the NFL, at least clearly in the conversation of being that.
You'd have four wideouts. You'd have Brown, Metcalf, Moore, and Lockett. Right. Not to mention you have multiple tight ends that you use.
Yeah, Carson, I think, is an underrated back.
Carson's a beast when he's healthy.
Your offense is loaded, man. And that is if you get Antonio Brown we're expecting, at least on the field. He's got to make sure to not stay out of trouble off the field. But this was bubbling all off season. You know, you don't have to go back too far to remember the videos that were all over Twitter and Instagram of Russell Wilson and Antonio Brown working out and throwing routes together. He also worked out with Lamar Jackson, Marquise Brown. The relationship there clearly is their family. But this is not a shock to me. They flirted with it. Russell Wilson, I think, has a lot of power in that organization. I think he views himself as a leader that says, I can get this guy to follow the right direction. And if he comes into this locker room, he's going to do the right thing. You would assume this would be his last straw.
I was just going to say
I'm done doing that with Antonio Brown because I feel like we've done that four times. But clearly, if Russell Wilson goes to you as a GM and says, I think this move could put us over the top, how do you say no to a franchise quarterback like that?
Well, I don't think you do. I think Russell Wilson made it abundantly clear who's kind of running that team, not in the depths of the draft sense or the schematics defensively, but what did he kind of hint at before the season started? Yeah, you know, I love to throw the ball, and because people had asked him about the whole let Russ cook thing, and he kind of just said, yeah, I prefer to do that, and we're undefeated when leading at halftime by four or more, whatever that stat was. I think that was kind of his way of publicly saying, give me the damn football. Enough of this being predictable, I should say, on first and maybe even second downs to a certain extent.
Sure.
Let's mix it up. Let me pass the ball, and they've done that so far. To their credit, they listened to that. And instead of letting it reach a boiling point and having some kind of public riff passive aggressive riff, because I think that'd be more what Russell Wilson would do, they came out and said, here you go, throw the football. And they've been 5-0. He's easily the vote getter for league MVP. So I think if he is in the ear of John Schneider and Pete Carroll, why would you not listen to him? If it costs you next to nothing and you think you can salvage your defensive line pass rush issues by just plugging in Jamal Adams, blitzing a whole ton in a game, I think they're going to do it. I really think this isn't random to get thrown out. Now, will they land him? Will he choose them? We don't know. Maybe he'll choose one of the other teams that pops up, because I do think two or three more teams will pop up.
Not many better places to go if you're Antonio Brown, man.
But I was just going to say that, Dirt. We thought his last chance was New England, and he got booted out of there after like a week and a half.
Yeah, it wasn't very long.
Well, now teams are still interested. I'd imagine, I'd at least hope that this is the last chance, and if he's a jackass NFL, just punts on him and says, dude, we blackballed Kaepernick for kneeling and doing nothing else.
Right. Can we kick this guy out?
Can we kick you out? You're done. You're nothing but a distraction. Seattle's a great organization to kind of reverse that image, that public perception of fit in, don't talk, catch footballs, and do what you can every single week. And if you do that, they may extend you, or another team may give you a 2-3 year contract.
Yeah, listeners are pointing out, by the way, too, Josh Gordon, who is still on their roster, but he hasn't been reinstated yet, I believe. We're still waiting on that one, so that's another looming piece that they could have down the road. I remember when they made the Josh Gordon move, that kind of made everybody think Antonio Brown wouldn't happen, and maybe it doesn't. Maybe he ends up going and signing somewhere else, and this is just a test, and he ends up in Baltimore or Green Bay or wherever the hell you want to throw out.
Yeah, he still has not been reinstated.
He hasn't been reinstated. A couple of Hawk fans texting in saying, no thanks, he's trash on one of them. Another one said it would be a disaster. They're fine at wide receiver, locker room poison. Harvin, Graham, these guys are worthless. The Harvin one, I think it's a little different because that happened so early in Russell Wilson's career. I didn't follow the locker room drama to the point of fully understanding everything that went on with Jimmy Graham. I know it wasn't a great fit, and I think a lot of that was schematics. He couldn't block, and they wanted a big tight end. It just that whole piece didn't really fit.
Is that a locker room thing? I just thought think we just realized Jimmy Graham was way overrated, and that the New Orleans system was the best system for any athletic tight end.
Also, he was in an offense that still was trying to run the football dominantly, and he can't block as a tight end. It just, that move just didn't make sense in a bunch of different ways. This, though, ultimately will be, I think, one of the bigger if it is to happen, one of the bigger tests of Russell Wilson's leadership. Because, you know, we've used this example with Damian Lillard over the years where there's a lot of Blazer fans that I think have the scar tissue that still exists from the Jailblazer era of saying we don't ever want to take chances on guys that have locker room, a checkered pass in the locker room, or he hasn't bought in, or he was disgruntled here, or his teammates didn't like him there. Why would we want to take a chance on that guy? They're a locker room cancer. That gets thrown out all the time. Don't take chances on those guys. And our take is, for the most part, Ben, Damian Lillard is a one-of-a-kind leader. And if there's anybody that can get somebody of that level to buy in and be a part of the team and not cause any sort of riff, it is Damian Lillard. And I think Hassan Whiteside was a great example of that this year, a guy that had issues in Miami. He didn't end well there. They wanted to get rid of him, partly because Bam was coming on, but also partly just he wanted to play. He didn't want to come off the bench. Like, there were lingering issues there, and he fell in line pretty quickly in Portland. You didn't see any issues about him complaining or arguing with coaching staffs, and then even in the restart when he was coming off the bench, he understood his role. He bought into what the team was doing, and I think it was another example of Dame's leadership. If you bring in Antonio Brown, that's the test for Russell Wilson. Can you keep this from becoming a circus? If he has a game where he doesn't play well, if he has a game where you don't feed him the ball and DK Metcalf is the star, if you have a game where you lose and he's one of the reasons you lose, can you keep this from becoming an issue? They're dealing with it in Cleveland. You know, Odell's always coming out, and he was ranting and raving on the sideline because they got their ass kicked by Pittsburgh. These guys come with a different set of problems, and it's incumbent on the quarterback to make sure that they fall in line and are doing what they need to do to help the team win.
Yeah, so the rumor, if you're just tuning in, Adam Schefter is on ESPN, and he's breaking, saying the Seahawks are positioning themselves to go after Antonio Brown. He is eligible to play after week 9 because of the 8-game suspension. We're heading into week 7, so that's just a couple weeks away. You'd imagine you sign him, you bring him in, let him get acclimated to the locker room, the playbook for a couple weeks, a week and a half, and then you kind of throw him out there and see what you have. If they're to do this, I don't know who's available in the NFL trade market. We'd have to kind of try to get an NFL guy because I'm just really bad at following the trade situation in the NFL.
Sure. There's some teams that are looking to dump contracts and stuff at the deadline.
Right, and if there's somebody out there maybe that we're not thinking of, we can find that out. But I think it more just feels like, yeah, they're willing to say Jamal Adams is coming back. He can pass rush when we choose to blitz. He's great in the secondary. Our defense is a little better with him.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need a defensive lineman the way that people think. We have the best quarterback in the world, and if he has all these weapons, he's going to be a pretty hard person to knock out of the postseason.
Right.
That
right.
might be the way they're leaning with the Antonio Brown move, but that's the big news. Adam Schefter saying the Seahawks are considering signing Antonio Brown, at least positioning themselves to go after him, and he is eligible after week 9. We'll get to the Odell Beckham story a little bit later on. LSU trying to get ahead of the NCAA and sanctioning themselves. This is an interesting move by them. It was smart, but will it pay off? But coming up next, Arizona State, considered by many to be a sleeper, if not maybe even a favorite, to win the Pac-12 conference. Jaden Daniels returning yet again in year 3 for Herm Edwards. We'll talk with Chris Cartman, who covers 24/7 sports. He covers ASU for 24/7 sports, I should say. And he'll join us next to get an Arizona State preview. We'll do that next on The Fan. Well, we're just about 2 weeks away from Pac-12 football starting, so I thought it'd be fun to kind of go around to some of the conference favorites, visit the North, and let's talk some Arizona State football. They're one of those sleeper teams. Many think that could win the conference. Jaden Daniels returning a quarterback. How much better will he get year 3 from Herm Edwards at ASU? He's had back-to-back 7-5 regular seasons. He won the Sun Bowl last year. So to talk all things ASU is Chris Cartman, who covers Arizona State for 24/7 sports, and he joins us now. Chris, thanks for hopping on with us here in Portland, my man. I just want to start, what is the realistic expectation of Sun Devil fan this year going into year 3 from Herm Edwards? A lot of speculation from media members. What do you think the fan base is thinking is going to happen this year?
Yeah, the fans believe that the schedule is pretty favorable, and there's no reason why ASU should backslide from last two seasons. So I think at a minimum, a 4-2 record, but even that probably would sort of be disappointing because it probably would not include a Pac-12 South title. So ultimately, I think 5-1 is probably what a lot of ASU fans believe to be the expectation this year. The toughest game is right out of the chute at USC. but ASU doesn't have to leave the state in its final three games of the first six, and it's a pretty good schedule.
Yeah, that's a great schedule. We'll see how they fare in that first one against USC. I think a lot of their hope hinges on Jaden Daniels, who I think turned some eyes last year. True freshman quarterbacks are going to go through their ups and their downs, there's no doubt, but he had some pretty high ups, and Duck fans learned that the hard way late in the season when they pulled off that upset that kept them from the playoff. Going into his sophomore year, I've seen some pictures. Looks like he's bulked up a little bit. What's he talking about in terms of how he can improve his game and be even better than he was last year?
Yeah, so he did a remarkably good job last year protecting the football. His interception percentage was lowest in the country of all quarterbacks, which is almost unheard of for a true freshman. But along with that, ASU coaches said that he maybe didn't take some of the deep ball opportunities that were available to him. So they would like to see him sort of open it up a little bit more. And this year, of course, ASU has a new offensive coordinator, Zach Hill. They're really building the offense around Daniel's skill set. It's a little bit more of a complicated offense, more option routes, more post-snap reads. So we got to see if Daniels makes that progression into what more closely resembles what he's going to get as far as offense at the NFL level. Mm.
Chris Cartman is our guest here, covers Arizona State for Sun Devil Source 24/7 Sports on Twitter at Chris Cartman. Look, there was a report that came out, or a couple of things that came out from some, and you'd be able to help us understand this. It sounds like there's a few players, maybe two or three, who have had their scholarship offers pulled by ASU, and many in the recruiting world, they kind of highlighted this, that we follow up here in the Pacific Northwest. That's not a good look for a program. I don't know any of the details to this. I don't even know what that means in the recruiting world, but what can you tell us about maybe some of those players who had their scholarships pulled, and what does that mean within the recruiting world for Arizona State?
Yeah, there's a little bit more to those stories than what typically goes out in the public. It is true that ASU has three of its 20 commitments in the 2021 class who were told that they no longer had scholarships available. Two important things to keep in mind here. Number one, ASU did not send out official scholarship letters to any of these three players. So it was verbal. And then also, according to our sources, the offers were conditional upon and agreed upon progression through their senior years, whether that be academics, on the field, off the field, types of responsibilities. Those things tend to not, the nuance of it tend to not kind of be reported because the coaches can't obviously speak about recruiting and the players aren't going to highlight their own sort of issues. So it is true that can have some perceptive impact in recruiting, but this is probably the best ASU recruiting staff that I've covered. And so I don't necessarily think that it's going to have significant ramifications.
Yeah, that's a good backstory. Yeah, I don't think the player is going to come out and say, yeah, I didn't get any better my senior year. That's why they pulled it. Hard to be honest in that regard.
Yeah, they didn't tweet that yesterday. Right. It was more, I lost my scholarship. Right. It was like, what's going on? That's
my grades
stuff.
Went down. One of the things that has helped this program a ton and really been a lot of fun to watch from afar has been the guys that they've had at the wide receiver position. I know N'Keal Harry hasn't quite popped in the NFL like some thought, at least yet, but he was an absolute monster at ASU. Brandon Ayuk was a stud, and he's already had some flashes with the 49ers. I believe Darby is back this year, so correct me if I'm wrong on that. And then what does the rest of the wide receiver position look like? Because they've had some tremendous talent come from wide receivers, the wide receiver spot.
Yeah, we just put up a story today, actually, on Frank Darby really feeling like he was underused the last couple years at ASU. A big-time home run threat who hasn't maybe shown the diversity of route running. He's going to get the opportunity this year because he's the only player on the roster with 10 or more catches who returns, and he should be one of the better guys in the league. Now, they signed four guys at the position who were four-star recruits coming out of high school last year, and two of them, L.V. Bunkley Shelton and Johnny Wilson, should make a pretty immediate impact. Bunkley Shelton is a really dynamic slot receiver who has advanced route running for a freshman. And Johnny Wilson is legitimately 6'7" and 220 pounds. So he's somewhat of a hybrid type of a weapon that you can bring into condensed formations and run the seam. And in the red zone, apparently, he has been almost unstoppable in practices. They have a few other guys that are coming off playing a little bit last year. Ricky Pearsall probably will end up starting. But this is a big question mark about ASU's team. When you have a guy like Jaden Daniels, you want to have plenty of talent to surround him with. And we're not entirely sure if that's going to be like top level at the Pac-12 or not as yet.
Yeah. Chris Cartman is our guest here, covers Arizona State, Sun Devil Source 24/7 Sports. You know, about a week or two ago, Chris, we went through because we had the opening week one Pac-12 lines and we love to gamble on sports. We're full on degenerates here. You know, going through some of the lines we talked about, you know, surprise, no surprise. I think one of the bigger ones for us in looking back at that was the line of Arizona State against USC to open things up. The first 9 a.m. kick in conference history at L.A. I believe if my mind is correct here, it was an 11-point spread favoring the Trojans. One, what the hell's going on with that line? ASU's supposed to be a contender in the South. I don't quite understand the difference between those two programs. And two, what did you make of ASU getting the first 9 a.m. kick? Do you think this is something that Herm Edwards is in on?
So I'll address the second part first. I think that's an advantage for ASU because it's 1 week after the time change, but Arizona doesn't have daylight savings. So it really, it will feel like 10 o'clock in the morning, and they practice every day at like 8:30 or 9. So I think that's a little bit of an advantage. Also, USC will not have seen ASU's offensive and defensive schemes on film, which is an advantage. And ASU had a greater ability to participate in groups, including on-field skill development work throughout the summer than USC did. So playing USC earlier is an advantage. I also think that just the home field advantage is lost, but probably won't be factored in to these betting lines enough early on in the season. So I thought that that line probably should have been like 6 or 7 points instead of 11. And I would give ASU, you know, a pretty decent chance of winning the game outright.
Hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting one to think about, is not having that fan impact there. How does the season go for ASU this year? I mean, they're one of the three teams that are considered with a good chance to win the South. I know USC was the favorite, but them, USC and Utah, are the three that often get brought up, replacing some pieces. But Jaden Daniels, Herm Edwards coming back, and some other pieces coming back as well. How do you think this short six-game season goes for ASU?
Well, it's a veteran defense. They should be better on that side. They have legitimate questions with their defensive ends, ability to rush the passer, and then some of the skill positions on offense, especially wide receiver. I picked ASU in my Pac-12 media vote to finish second behind USC. I kind of feel like that's where I'm sitting right now. I think 4-2 is the most likely record, but I wouldn't be surprised if they somehow ended up 5-1, maybe even winning the South.
Yeah, there we go. Great stuff on Arizona State. Chris Cartman covers ASU for 24/7 Sports, the Sun Devil source, and he is on Twitter at Chris Cartman. Okay, Chris, great stuff, man. Thank you so much for hopping on today, and I'm sure we'll talk at some point during the Pac-12 season to check in on how Herm and the Sun Devils are doing.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. Thanks a lot for having me.
All right, there we go. Great stuff from Chris Cartman as he kicks off a bit of a Pac-12 preview for us. We're about 2 weeks away from the season going.
You're
going
to get a chance for an upset in week one. That might end up being the game that decides the entire Pac-12 South race. You're jumping right into the fire, man. ASU, USC, 9 a.m. It's going to be weird watching football that early. But if ASU pulls off an upset in that first one against USC, I think both you and I like them to cover the spread.
That just seems like a big number.
I'm not quite understanding why it's such a high number, but you win that game, all of a sudden the South race is theirs for the taking the rest of the season. You could be looking at a special year. I think Jaden Daniels is a terrific young quarterback. He's only going to continue to get better, but he's going to have to replace a lot of talent elsewhere, especially on that offensive side of the ball. At running back, we mentioned the wide receiver position. They only got one guy coming back in Darby with more than 10 catches last year. So a lot of inexperience around him, and they're going to lean on him this year.
What do you want to get to next? We have a ton of sports stories we get to. We get to this Karen story in San Francisco, which is...
Oh, God, we got a Karen story in San Francisco?
Oh, have you not seen this?
No, I have not seen the Karen story in San Francisco. Is it bad?
No, it's a good Karen.
A good Karen?
It's actually a play on Karen.
Oh, I have not seen this story.
Okay.
I'm in the dark here.
It's choose your adventure. You choose the adventure. I just threw some stuff at you.
Okay, we can get to that. We can have a little fun next.
Okay, do me a favor.
Okay.
you bring us in. I want you to not look this up.
Okay, I won't look anything up here.
We can talk about what's going on in San Francisco because This is hilarious. We'll get to that. We got a lot of sports to get to. Status Story 215. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague back with more on radio.com and 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back, Game 133. Before we get to the Karen story that I know nothing about, I did want to pass along very sad news.
Oh, no.
Very sad news, guys. You ready for this?
Damn it.
Quibi is shutting down.
I thought you said sad news.
Does anybody know what Quibi is? Did anybody figure out what it was? I saw commercials for it for a couple of weeks.
I always thought it was a joke.
It was supposed to be like little short vignette. It was like...
Yeah, but their videos look like commercials that were joking about movies. You know, it'd be like an action sequence of a guy, and you'd be like, oh, what is that? And you'd be like, catch the final on Quibi. And you'd be like,
huh?
What the hell is Quibi?
They had the one where the kid gets stranded, and the only one I remember is they had the kid that gets stranded in the car in the snowstorm, and he's like, hey, come save me. But the friends, won't come save him, and then his phone ends up dying.
It was like...
Oh, yeah, you're right.
That was
short
the only one I remember.
Stories
like, huh?
Turned into...
That kid die?
TV.
I mean, I don't know. I didn't end up watching it, but it looked like he was in... He didn't look like things were going well for that kid.
What if they canceled before concluding that story?
Did they give a cause of death?
Yeah, he froze to death?
No, for Quibi.
Oh, for Quibi?
They explain?
They had a lot of malfunctioning stuff going on.
Yeah, I just saw the headline.
They had streaming problems. People were saying it wasn't working as well.
That's not good if you're a streaming platform. You got to be able to stream it, man. So Quibi is shutting down. Sad
Hard
news.
To beat Prime, Netflix, yes, HBO is. Max. Like, you're in a tough business, man.
It's like all those sports drinks that come out. It's like, dude, you're going to take a shot at Gatorade. Good luck. But you're not going to be able to take them down, man. So Quibi shutting down. Sad news for all you Quibi folks out there. Fill me in on this, though. So you tell me there's a Karen story out of San Francisco. Now, I can't believe you didn't see this. I did not see this today, so okay. I am very curious what the hell's going on.
So the San Francisco Board of Supervisors unanimously passed the Caution Against Racial and Exploitative Non-Emergencies Act, a.k.a. the Karen Act.
I see where you're going with
a
this.
A new law that makes it illegal for someone to call 911 with false racist complaints.
They called it the Karen Act.
One board member says, quote, 911 calls are not customer service for people's racism.
No, Karen, they are not. Do not call us with that complaint.
I like that they spelled Karen with a C because most are with a K. So you can't cite you're discriminating against us Karens. Like,
that's pretty good.
Also, it's a very fitting name.
Very fitting name.
Yes. Somebody worked hard to come up to name it, so the acronym came out Karen.
Right, you know they spelled it out. The acronym, they spelled it out ahead and said, how can we make
all
this
right.
okay?
Yeah, Karen. We gotta name this bill so the acronym is Karen.
That is awesome. Tip of the hat, because that should be illegal. If you're gonna call 911 made up complaint because some person of color is standing around you in a park. Did you see the story that came out? Remember the gal right at the start of all the unrest that called
The New York gal
that called the cut. There was another call that she made that went previously unreported that we just found out about. She had made a call earlier saying, making up all the stuff. And then the second call was the one that was filmed on camera.
Wait. Same day, same moment?
Same day, same guy. She had called earlier and then, called back. And the call back was the one that was caught on camera.
It's a very disgusting. You have to be a horrible human being to be that person.
Yes, you do.
I'm also like, I hope she's been punished properly. And I've seen stories like where she lost her job and her name was being passed around to potential employers. I do think at some point you hope that human learned a lesson and that then they could restart. But again, this whole thing's been so damn ugly that I don't know what the proper recourse should be.
Well, the tough part there is that if the cell phone technology doesn't exist and the cops show up and they believe her story and that guy ends up getting arrested, that could ruin his life. And she just
or
made
worst,
it, right?
He's arguing against it. Gets a little hostile. One cop gets nervous and gets, the guy gets popped.
So that's where you don't want somebody's life to be ruined, but she tried to ruin somebody's life in making that phone call. So that's where the middle ground is.
Dirt, it's like the gal that called the cops on the people at that Oakland park
Yes.
For just throwing a barbecue.
Right. That was one of the more notable ones.
Or the gal that called the cops on the little black girl selling water.
I didn't see that one.
You didn't see that one? I think that might have been in New York or Philly, but it was in a downtown area. And
can't sell water, man.
The kids were selling, and it was when we had a heat wave going. They were selling bottles of water at a table for like a dollar. And this lady's like, you can't do this. And the mom was like, they're just selling water. Yeah. And the lady, like, legit started trying to call the cops on him.
Oh, God. Well, tip of the hat to San Francisco. That's pretty funny and very creative. I will say on that note, too, having to be on the other side of that call would be awful. And there's a lot of jobs out there that I do not have the mental makeup or the fortitude to be able to handle. I can say unequivocally, one of those that is in that long list of jobs that I could not pull off is being a 911 operator. I could not do, those people, man, they have to take those calls, deal with hysterical people, like, obviously super scary situations. You have to keep people calm. Like, I could not do that job.
We know a guy.
We do know a guy.
Prescott.
Yes.
Who used to work at KGON. He was a 911 operator, became a radio host, got out of radio, and I think is a 911 operator again, and he used to tell us about that job. I also have a cousin. And he was in between gigs. He's kind of one of those, when he gets bored, he's just kind of done.
Yeah, he's like, I'm moving on to my next job.
You know, and I don't blame anybody for that mindset. He does really well for himself now in sales, but he was in between. He's a volunteer firefighter, and he was trying to be a 911 operator. So he texted me and said, hey, I'm putting you down as a reference. Now, the backstory is 911 operators get really vetted. Like,
you better have
4 or 5 people you have to trust and they have to contact.
Right. Your people's lives are on the line with that.
And if there's even like a hint of you doing anything questionable at any point in your life.
Right. You can't get angry and hang up on somebody.
You don't even get an interview. And his thing, I remember he didn't get an interview or he got an interview and then he didn't get another one once they started calling. And I said, what do you have us on? You're a normal dude. You got a family. You could pay your taxes.
What's the backstory there?
And he goes, well, my only suspicion is that they found out that I smoked weed when I was 15. And I thought, that
was what kept you? What is this, the CIA?
That's what stops you?
Come on, man.
I could never be a 911 operator as an adult.
No, you think of all the scary situations that you would have to handle and talk people through and the things you would have to hear. And then on top of that, this kind of crap of some gal calling the cops in the park because there's a black guy taking pictures of birds or whatever and having to deal with that, right? Like, I want nothing to do with that job.
Well, and then you have to...
More power to the people that can handle it.
You kind of have to gauge, too. Like, if a gal calls, you can't just assume that they're all white women being racist.
You have to take the threat seriously.
So if she's like, yeah, there's a guy and he's in the park and you're keeping calm, you're like, ma'am, what is he currently doing?
What's happening here?
And she's drawing a different picture than what's going on.
Right.
Do you ever feel, I'd imagine there's guilt involved in that, right? Like, I was the guy that I alerted the police to go to that scene of that incident.
And things didn't go well.
And things did not go well. It was not what that individual claimed was happening. And I don't know if people live with that or if they're just operators and they're like, well, okay, I'm processing your emergency. Here you go. Bye.
Yeah. So I missed that story today. That's pretty cool. They passed an act in San Francisco with the acronym of Karen making it illegal to call 911 with a made up racial threat, basically.
If there's any false contact to an emergency operator and you find out that it was basically just racism. Yeah, it's an illegal act. Let me see here.
The last part, too, that would be the final straw for me being a 911 operator is I love when you get those reports that, like, police departments have to send out, like, if this is happening, please don't call 911. Like, people call 911, like, when their power goes out or, like, little minuscule things to have to handle those calls, too.
Remember when I had the gal walk into my house? I didn't even want to call 911 then. I'm like, is there a different thing we can call?
Because I don't want to jam up the line. Somebody else can't get through. I don't want to be that guy.
I'm trying to see.
I'm going to laugh at you, tell you to put the phone down.
Okay, I haven't seen anything of what happened, like what the punishment is to that. But
okay,
I wonder if it's just it's a fine a or.
Yeah, I love that. That's a good story. I like that. That's a good one for a Wednesday. All right, coming up next, let's see. Where do we want to go from here? Should we get into the LSU thing?
I'd love to get into the LSU thing.
All right, well, LSU has self-imposed some sanctions, and Odell Beckham is in some hot water. Is there anything more to come of this? And we'll let you know what happened behind the scenes. Coming up next, Crunch Time on the Fam.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's Crunch Time, a look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, Beaverton, Aloha Division, Vancouver. They are all up and running. Go check them out, crunch.com, or stop by one of the locations today. I was at the Glorious House of Gains this morning.
Let's go!
And got a good little workout, and I'll be back tomorrow. We still got a lot to get to. Rob Manfred with some comments about the future of baseball that I want to dive into. Some concerning numbers about the Baltimore Ravens offense that I found interesting because they're 5-1, and it doesn't seem like it's maybe getting the attention that it deserves. And LeBron is a douche, and that needs to be discussed as well. Also, status story in the final hour.
Boy, yeah, that was an interesting. You sent a little show email on. I didn't.
Nothing bothers me more.
Why does this bother you?
Like, why are you pandering? Nobody believes that you're a Dodger fan.
Well, I don't think he's pretending to be. I think he lives in L.A. and he's just saying, hey, go Dodgers. Just like Brady's doing it
with Tampa. It's so dumb. Nobody's falling for that crap.
Didn't LeBron always wear Yankee hats when he was?
He's a Yankee. Yeah, but then when he came Indians back to Cleveland. Dodgers fan.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
No.
He's tweeting about it. Why are you tweeting? Why do we need LeBron tweeting about the Dodgers?
He's acclimating himself to the city in which he lives. That's no different than what Tom Brady's doing.
I know. Tom Brady stuff is just as bad. He voiced the monologue. First off, you'll defend anything LeBron does. He voiced the monologue for the World Series that was just like, why is Tom Brady doing this? Why is he the narrating voice for the World Series?
Because he's won 6 championships. He knows what
in
it's like to be in the title.
Sport. Why don't we get a baseball player that has 6 championships?
He knows what it means to be clutch.
So stupid.
Let the clutchest man of all time step in.
I did see a funny article the other day. I think it was a Barstool thing. They asked if Tom Brady is a wizard because everywhere he goes, there's success. Like he goes to Boston, the Red Sox have never won. So not only does he win with the Pats, but then the Red Sox win,
then the Bruins,
the Celtics.
Back.
So now he's in Tampa, and all of a sudden,
getting credit for the other teams.
Well, it was the joke of is he a wizard?
And the Lightning.
The Lightning went to Stanley Cup, and now the Rays are in the World Series. Like everywhere he goes, the teams win. Yeah, I don't know. I was just like, come on, man, don't condescend me. If we ever get a baseball team and like Damian Lillard starts rooting for them, and it's not the A's that move here, I'll say, dude, stay true to your roots. You're an A's fan. It's okay.
Market right now.
I don't need
a star in another team to root for another team
in my city. What does that do for me?
And Sprager, how great is it that Dave's front row? He's wearing a Rose City Rose City baseball jersey.
You know who's good with this? And partly because the team sucks. Like Russell Wilson's a part of the Portland baseball group. You know, he does. Like I don't need to support the Mariners. He's a Seahawk quarterback. What does he have to do with the Mariners' success?
I think he does support the Mariners. You're talking about a group of a team that doesn't exist.
Well, if he brings in a Portland team, he's going to be a rival of the Mariners, and he's going to be an owner of that team. I digress.
But what if he says, like, bow down this year, the Huskies game? Are you going to be pissed?
If who says that?
Russell.
No, why would I be pissed?
Because he went to NC State in Wisconsin. The hell?
Oh, well, yeah, I didn't quite understand the analogy. Yes, I would be pissed. You don't see guys do that for college teams.
That's not true. Dame panders to Oregon and Oregon State. He went to both of them and rocked both jerseys.
And he doesn't tweet out "Go Ducks" or "Go Beavers."
I think he did when he went to both of those games.
I don't think he did. I think there was just pictures circulating. I think you're making this up.
I think your favorite athlete panders, and you're just finding out about
it. Yeah, I think we need to put an end to this. This is my new
thing.
Wouldn't
you pander if you were a pro athlete?
No, stay true to your roots.
No.
Where are you from? Root for that team.
No.
I don't need you to support all the teams in the city. That's stupid.
Why?
That's dumb.
Why can't you just have...
If you're a sports fan, you stay where your sports fans were. Don't change with the winds.
I think it's one thing to know who your favorite team is. We know LeBron's a Yankee fan.
And an Indians fan. And a Dodger fan.
He's not an Indian fan. He's not a Dodger fan.
There's pictures of him in Indians gear. When they went to the World Series in 2016, he was standing up in his suite, waving his towel.
Well, he just won him an NBA championship.
Sure.
He's just celebrating another potential championship.
The previous time the Yankees and Indians play in the playoffs, he was sitting in the stands with the Yankees hat.
Right, and he's a Yankee fan. He's admitted as much in an interview. My point is,
if I know it's not your favorite team, but you still pander, I'm okay with that.
Nah, don't pander. I don't want that crap. Get it out of here. Hey, did you guys know that it is not a
being a real Karen right now?
It might be
real
a Karen on this one.
I'm a sports Karen.
I want to try and find a story that I'll get you to turn on LeBron. I haven't got there yet, but eventually I'll find one out there.
I've turned on LeBron.
I don't know about that.
I've turned on LeBron.
Has he ever said anything negative about LeBron on this show? Fact checker.
Come on.
Absolutely.
Negative.
I said I don't like that he bitches about all the foul calls.
That is true.
Okay.
I said that during the finals.
That is an indefensible thing.
Well, you think the pandering is, too, and I sat here and defended it.
Look, I digress.
Okay.
Hey, did you guys know it's not a good idea to hand out $100 bills to college athletes on a field after a game?
I thought it was a smart idea, personally.
Yeah, I guess they frown upon that kind of thing in the NCAA. And that, if you remember correctly, was what Odell Beckham Jr. was doing.
Wait a minute. I thought that was fake money.
Remember, it was fake money. Wait, no, not actually fake money. So they won the national title, and Odell Beckham Jr. was walking around on the field. He had like $2,000 in his pocket, and he started handing out $100 bills to the players after they won the game. So he has now been banned by LSU themselves as they have self-imposed some sanctions. He is banned from entering any of their facilities for 2 years. For 2 years, that's your punishment. 2 years can't go around him. On top of that, they have also uncovered the fact that a booster paid a football player, I believe I saw that was like $180,000. A father of a football player was paid by a booster, like $180,000. And because of that, LSU has self-imposed the loss of 8 scholarships.
So are we going to act like we forget USC existed? And are they really going to get off and not get punished the way USC did?
It is appearing that way, yes.
The USC story was just Reggie Bush's parents getting a house from an agent and then lying about it.
Yes.
$180,000 from
a booster that had anything to do with the school. It was an agent that gave him money before he was eligible to start making that money, and the agent wanted Reggie to sign with him when he went to the NFL.
Yeah, you had a former alum on the field in front of the cameras handing out hundos to players for winning the championship, pairing that with a booster paying $180,000.
Yeah, I'd take away a couple of scholarships. It's no big deal.
8 scholarships and a 2-year ban for OBJ. Yeah, I'm thinking the NCAA better not be cool with that self-imposed sanctions. Otherwise, USC and I look, I'm not a USC fan. I think it's important for them to be good. USC better be driving home the let's break from the NCAA argument. That crowd that exists and it's real. They should be at the forefront of that group, just completely going against the NCAA, because there would be nothing but hypocrisy. There already was hypocrisy with the North Carolina thing, but their stupid loopholes got them out of it. There'd be nothing but hypocrisy from the NCAA if they don't hammer LSU the way that they hammered USC.
Yeah, I mean, this is pretty bad stuff. They are saying they're working closely with the NCAA. The NCAA has not ruled on this yet. These are all self-imposed. They're trying to get out in front of it and say, look, we slapped ourselves on the wrist. You don't need to do anything about it, NCAA. And not only is it just 8 scholarships, it's mixed up over 2 years. So it's 4 each year. So it's not like it's 8 from, they're mixing it up so it's not too big of a hit. It is not going to affect their ability to sign the maximum number of 25 new recruits, which is like, okay, what the hell are we even doing here? They're also reducing the amount of time that they can spend on official and unofficial visits in the coming 2 years, I guess, which, okay, they can't even take official visits this year anyways because of COVID.
Good job.
So that's kind of weird. There's a 21-day reduction in the normal 168 days of allowable off-campus contacts and a 6-week ban in communication with prospects. So that is what they have punished. And, nobody knows what the NCAA is going to do here, but we can all draw our own conclusions and say they rolled over against basically everybody other than USC, and so this will likely be all that comes of LSU.
I mean, it really is abundantly clear that USC, if LSU does not get hit, it's basically boils down to USC lied, and that's it?
Is that it?
So all these other crimes or illegal activities going on are no big deal. Hell, Penn State covered up child molestation for 30 years, and they had a 2-year bowl ban. Boy, what a punishment.
Right, that was it. So the story...
God, the NCAA sucks.
So the Beckham thing we
I'm
know...
I'm going to wait to see, but this is terrible.
Right, it's bad. The Beckham thing we know was the $100 after the game. The story behind the $180,000 to the parent, to the player, It went to the father of offensive lineman Vidal Alexander, and it was stolen money from LSU booster John Paul Funes, who admitted in 2019 that he embezzled more than $500,000 from Our Lady of the Lake Hospital in Baton Rouge. The money was payment from 2012 to 2017 for what the NCAA characterized as a no-show job. Sounds like an episode of The Sopranos. So the parent got $180,000 from the booster that was stolen from a hospital in Baton Rouge. And that is why they also self-imposed the ban. So it was that and then Odell Beckham Jr. handing out $100,000. They also had impermissible recruiting contact in January of 2019 by Ed Orgeron. So those were the three. The triple whammy that
they've
led to
this. Three huge things just hitting them.
Yeah, with the Will Wade stuff, this stuff going on.
And what's coming of the Will Wade thing?
We're waiting here, man.
Well, we keep waiting. And
we're waiting. Nothing's going to happen with that.
Remember how big a deal that was to people?
And
we were like,
end college basketball. Well, is it really?
Not really.
Yeah, so LSU has self-imposed penalties and for rules and violations. Eight scholarships they are losing and a whole bunch of other nonsense that nobody can really follow or pay attention to anyways. And that is their slap on the wrist, and they're saying, NCAA, you don't need to do anything. See, we took care of it. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, Beaverton, Alloa Division, Vancouver. They're all up and running. Go check them out, crunch.com, or stop by one of the locations. Today I'll be back at the Glorious House of Gaines tomorrow morning. Coming up in the final hour of the show, Rob Manfred wants a couple of things to stick from this weird baseball season. Do we agree with one, both, none? We'll get into that a little bit. There is a Rudy Giuliani story that needs to be talked about today. They're floating the idea of potentially moving the Super Bowl back. Would that be cool? Would we like it? We'll get into that a little bit. And then Lamar Jackson, some of the numbers are a little concerning. How would we feel about a long-term contract extension for him? That plus Statter story at 2:15. Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.